We live basically in a culture that herds animals, that sees animals as mere commodities. One of the ideas I discuss in the book is that we live in a herding culture that goes back about 10,000 years. This is not very long ago, actually, in terms of the hundreds of thousands of years we've been on this earth. Roughly 10,000 years ago, we started herding animals in what is today the country of Iraq. First goats and sheep, and then cattle, and then camels and horses. That initiated an enormous change in our culture. When we did that, it required men to be different. Boys had to be trained to be willing to be very violent and cruel to animals, because when you herd animals, instead of seeing them as neighbors and as mysterious cohabitants of a mysterious world, you start to see them as mere property objects that have to be protected from predators. So you start to see all the other animals, and really all of nature, as potential threats to your livestock property, because they might attack your cows or your sheep, or compete with them or injure them in some way. So you want to just get rid of them, kill all the bears and wolves and coyotes and anything else that might be around, like buffalo and prairie dogs and mustangs. All these animals are potential threats in the eyes of herders, so we want to kill them. And besides that, the livestock animals themselves lose all status and become these despicable objects that we have to confine and castrate and mutilate and brand and guard as our property. They also become our wealth. It's so interesting, I think, that the words capitalism and capital come from the Latin word capita, which means head, as in head of cattle. Pecunia, from which we derive our word pecuniary, meaning money, means animal in Latin. There is an essential connection here that wealth, property, prestige, and social standing in the old herding cultures was totally determined by how many head of cattle and livestock a man owned. Livestock were wealth, as well as food, security, and status. And according to many anthropologists and historians, the practice by men of owning and herding animals led to the practice of men owning and using women, as if they were mere chattel property. So the domination of women followed right after the domination of animals, and the mentality of violence used against animals began to be used against women as well, and also against rival herders, because the main way of getting wealth in the old days in the herding cultures was by accumulating livestock. And the fastest way to accumulate livestock was to steal somebody else's. And so wars began that were for the first time big, brutal, organized wars over livestock and livestock habitat. In fact, the ancient Sanskrit word for war means literally, quote, the desire for more cattle. And the desire for more cattle led inevitably to war and to stealing from others, and to incredibly bloody centuries and centuries and centuries of war over livestock and over land, to graze the livestock and over water resources for the livestock, with wealth and power being measured in terms of livestock. It's still called the stock market even today, and we still eat herded, confined animals as a sign of our wealth, perhaps more than ever in history. The cattle culture, the herding culture, lives in our culture today. The old herding and horse riding culture eventually spread by force from the Middle East and from the Eastern Mediterranean area, first to Europe and then eventually from Europe to the Americas. The people who came here from England and France and Spain didn't just come by themselves. They brought their cows and their sheep and their goats and their horses. And so the herding culture continues on here, and it's spreading throughout the whole world through the spread of fast food chains and Western agricultural practices. The U.S. government and the World Bank fund projects based on this, and the Heifer Project and other religious and cultural programs encourage the domination of animals and further the spread of the herding mentality over the entire planet. Besides spreading, this mentality of domination and violence against animals has, unfortunately, intensified as well, with animals no longer typically being herded in bucolic outside pastures and barnyards, but instead imprisoned in the extreme confinement and toxicity of modern-day factory farms. I believe this tragedy is not just an effect, but is a basic cause of our disharmony with the natural world and with each other. It's very liberating, I think, to realize that our culture is a hurting culture, that the last real revolution in our culture was 8,000 to 10,000 years ago when we began hurting large animals and confining and commodifying them. The other so-called revolutions that have taken place since then, the scientific revolution, the industrial revolution, and so forth, should not really be called revolutions because they've taken place within the same context of domination and violence, and they never questioned the underlying foundation of our culture, but actually reinforced it. This foundation is the herding mentality and practice of eating animal foods, which basically degrades living beings to the status of mere commodities to be used, confined, killed, and eaten. A real revolution would question that. I think the revolution that we're longing for, which I would say would truly be a Christian revolution, a revolution of spiritual awakening, a revolution of compassion, would be a revolution of veganism. Veganism is simply a philosophy that does not see animals as commodities, but rather as beings that deserve our respect and our kindness. That kind of a revolution of nonviolence toward animals, would bring for the first time nonviolence toward human beings as well. I believe that if we think about this a little bit more deeply, we'll see that it's impossible ever to have a society where people treat each other well if they're eating animals, because eating animals necessitates violence and hard-heartedness and denial against sentient beings. We can't in any way do that and then see ourselves in a light that is truly positive, because we know deep down that we're unnecessarily harming other sensitive and conscious beings. We are tragically desensitized by the relentless killing our meals require. Human peace, peace on this earth, requires on a fundamental level that we have peace with animals, that we have peace on our plates in our daily meals. The reasons for this become obvious when we start to see the connections between what we eat and what it forces these animals to experience at our hands. Thank you.